Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Let's talk about our public health and our financial health, because it seems like since the start of the pandemic, we've been able to choose only one or the other. Even as coronavirus infection rates are relatively low here in the Commonwealth now, our unemployment rate is historically high, the highest in the nation. And much of the last economic stimulus package has expired. Other states around the country seem to be demonstrating that reopening could still mean more closures if the virus roars back. So can we prioritize public and economic health at the same time? And what will it take in terms of policy, investments, maybe even PPE to get us and keep us back on our economic feet? These are questions very much on the mind of the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, Eric Rosengren, who joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So, Eric, let's take one of those temperatures that we seem to take now when we walk into every store, et cetera. What is your sense of our economic health here in Massachusetts right now?
Well, as your introduction highlighted, the unemployment rate is quite high. But the pandemic is less severe right now than it is in many other parts of the country. So I think what we've learned is that the trade-off between public health and economic health that some have argued is probably not correct, that they're actually quite intertwined. And so if we really want to have a strong economy as we get into the second half of the year, we also need to be more successful on the public health front. Because without that, you're not going to get people to go to restaurants, go to hotels, get on planes. And whether it's a government shutdown or whether it's individuals just choosing to stay home, we need to have a public health environment that people feel comfortable spending and doing things that don't require social distancing.
So I really want to ask you to walk us through that a little bit more. This has been on my mind a lot as we've been covering the pandemic over the last few months. You know, you just said maybe there's not trade-offs there. And yet, if people are staying at home, if we are shut down, then they're not going into restaurants and they're not getting on airplanes. So how is it that we don't, I think I hear you saying, have to sacrifice one for the other?
Well, I think what we saw in the spring was that both New England and the Mid-Atlantic states were severely impacted, and we had a state-mandated shutdown, and we had state-mandated shutdowns in many parts of the country. Other parts of the country released that mandate much more quickly than Mid-Atlantic and New England, and as a result, they had an initial spurt in economic activity. You see that in high-frequency mobility data. You see it in consumer spending data. But what you also find is by the end of June, getting into July, that those same states that opened very quickly are now seeing a much more severe problem with the pandemic because of the greater social interaction. And as a result, are having more of a public health crisis and are seeing spending go down in those states. So in New England, where we were slower to open up, we're now seeing more spending than you're seeing in states in parts of the country that opened up quickly, but then had a problem with infections.
So how to square that with record high unemployment, though, for example, here in the Commonwealth?
So unemployment in many respects is a lagging statistic. And so when you have a more severe shutdown, people are going to be laid off fairly quickly. And people will be coming back as people are going back to work. So I do expect that it is temporary, that Massachusetts and many of the New England states are much higher than other parts of the country. And I think it reflects the fact that we took more severe action initially. But as our economy responds more positively than the rest of those states that are now suffering from the pandemic, we should do much better. But I think there's a big question mark about how all the states do in the fall, because right now you are able to go to do some activities outside. The weather's quite nice. But once it gets colder and you can't go to a restaurant unless you're inside, you can't go to group activities unless it's inside, the risks go up. Schools go back into session. Colleges get back into session. All that poses more risks, and those are risks in New England as well as the rest of the country.
So let me ask you.
continue to control the pandemic, I think, is critically important.
So, yeah, let's stay on that for a minute, this ability to control the pandemic. In a speech you gave last week, you argued, quote, inconsistent efforts by states to control the virus are, quote, likely to prolong the economic downturn. I know you know that caught the attention of the administration, who argues the opposite, that we'll see tremendous growth in the third quarter due to the way we reopened. What needs to be done so that we could see tremendous growth in the third quarter? What needs to be done at the state level, state across the states, to create better financial health as quickly as possible?
Well, many of the public health activities are relatively modest in cost. So it's not that expensive to wear a mask. It's not that expensive to not go inside where there are large groups congregating and the facility is not well, the airflow is not working appropriately for that kind of crowd. So I think a lot of it is public sense in terms of thinking about appropriate social distancing whenever the pandemic becomes more severe. And if we take some of those common sense responsibilities, and that may require some state mandates for those individuals not willing to do it otherwise, and enforcing those mandates so that people take it seriously, I think if we do that, the pandemic will be much less severe than it would be if we don't follow those restrictions. One of the reasons why the... Go ahead.
So thanks. What about federal stimulus investments so far and going forward? Things like unemployment supplements, payroll protection program, even aids to states, cities, and towns. How important is what's happened so far? And is it necessary for there to be more coming? Congress adjourned without passing another stimulus bill. Will future stimulus be important as well?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. That one of the reasons the economy wasn't worse in the spring was because we had unprecedented fiscal policy. So fiscal policy has been both more timely and more significant than what we normally see in a recession. And all those programs that you just listed, including expanded unemployment, better benefits, having programs for small businesses, all those programs provided a very significant amount of stimulus to individuals. So they didn't cut back on their spending nearly as severely. At the end of July, many of those programs are no longer operating. As you're aware, Congress has not implemented successor programs. And I think it is critically important for the fall that fiscal policy continue to be stimulative. Monetary policy has already done its part. Interest rates are quite low. And right now what we need is fiscal policy. Now I would highlight that spending trillions of dollars is much more expensive than having people follow public health common sense rules so that it's not necessary. But if people don't follow those rules and we don't have a consistent public health implemented across the country, then fiscal policy will continue to be needed to support those that are being significantly impacted by the pandemic.
Before we let you go, you've been tasked by the Fed's Board of Governors in Washington to set up the Main Street Lending Program, which offers loans to small and medium-sized businesses that have been impacted by COVID-19. For the regular person listening, what does the program do, and has it been successful?
So what the program does is it tries to help small and medium-sized businesses that were perfectly good businesses in February, got badly disrupted by the pandemic, and expect to have perfectly good businesses once the pandemic is over. And so the program's designed to provide a loan. So this isn't a grant program, it's a loan program to finance that shortfall in cash flow for those businesses. So it's a five-year loan, and it doesn't require any payment of principal or interest the first year and no payment of principal the second year, which means from a cash flow standpoint, you don't have to be paying a lot of money until you think that the pandemic will be over and the business is back up and running as you expect. So the program works through the banking system. The Federal Reserve takes a 95% participation in the loan. The bank takes 5%. So they do care about you paying back that loan. The purpose is to actually provide that bridge financing that many businesses wouldn't get otherwise. And in terms of the success of the program, we started opened up in early July. So we've been operating for about 5 weeks. The first 2 weeks, there wasn't many loans brought to the Federal Reserve, but we're seeing an increasing amount now. And we're now at the point where we have roughly $900 million of loans in our portal, with the loans either accepted or in the process of going through and making sure that it meets all the criteria for the program. And I do expect that to continue to expand as more banks and more borrowers take advantage of the program. So it was a slow uptake, but in part that's because bank loans take a while to actually get an agreement with the bank and do all the necessary covenants and requirements for the loan. So it's not surprising. It's much slower than if we were purchasing securities in the market.
So I do want to just very briefly ask you, how is the Federal Reserve System helping to address the overwhelming economic disparities and inequalities, racial inequalities, health inequalities that we've been seeing really underscored or revealed more clearly by the pandemic?
So the pandemic certainly exacerbates trends that we were already seeing in terms of income inequality. The Federal Reserve has limited tools to address income inequality, but one thing that certainly hurts people's income and wealth is to be unemployed. And so what the Federal Reserve can do is lower interest rates, which we have done. It can create facilities that makes credit flow more abundantly to businesses and individuals. But we're not the same as the federal government. The federal government can spend money. We can only lend money. And as a result, those programs have to be targeted to areas of the economy where lending actually is helpful.
And that's Eric Rosengren, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.